Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Let's all stand as we open up the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and we're going to read together verses 10 through 12. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, "The Devil is a Liar." The devil is a liar. You know, we may use that as a cliche. Man, that devil's a liar. Well, guess what? The Bible says he's a father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning. It was because of his lies we have now inherited the Adamic nature that has come from Adam and Eve. That's right. Old Slewfoot was in there, conniving, bringing on a delusion, convincing the woman that God did not say certain things to them. And as we look at the culture that we live in now, the devil knows he has very little time left. And he's come to this nation of ours as an onslaught from hell. And he wants to take out as many as he can. And one of the things that he is truly attacking is the theological stand that a lot of Christians differ. There are pre-tribs, there are mid-tribs, there are post-tribs. Hallelujah. God said to watch, because he could come anytime. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But we're going to see in this study how we can defend ourselves, and how we can counterattack. Can I get amen? Amen? Anytime the enemy comes up with a strategy to attack us, there must be a plan to counterattack. When you watch a boxing match, they always have a counterattack. When they see a left and a right coming, do you just stand there and get hit, or do you duck and move and you get out of the way, and then do you counter back? Well, God is saying this is the time that the church has to rise up to counterattack. Amen. Amen. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so this message is, the devil is a liar. There is no truth in him, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And if you're listening to old Slewfoot, he will take you down an ugly road. And so let's read the Word of God together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Let me draw your attention up here. When was the last time you felt vulnerable to a temptation? I heard 5 minutes ago. Man. Let me just say this. There's only two voices in the world. And as Christians, as born-again believers, there's a profound, unique, and empowering voice that will speak righteousness to you, and that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. But then there's another voice. And that voice, its whole goal is to cause you to sin before our God. One of the things that Balaam couldn't do in the Old Testament was curse God's people. But he figured out a way. How can I get this nation to sin and that God would punish them? How? You know what he did? He sent in a whole bunch of prostitutes in their tents. And none of them kicked them out. And because God is righteous, he had to send judgment on his own people. Because they knew the truth. See, when you know the truth, you're in a whole different dimension now. They knew the truth. But they gravitated to the lie. You see, saints, we've all experienced this at times of temptation. And sometimes the pull is so strong that we begin to come up with reasons why yielding isn't so bad. However, we need to stop and consider that the voice we're listening to is Satan's voice and him alone. And what he's offering is a path to destruction. Oh, yeah. He'll sell you a bill of goods for pleasure for a moment. And when you turn the next page, it's destruction. Saints, today we are living in a sensual age in which enticements are everywhere. And we could respond in several ways. We will yield quickly without a struggle. Successfully fight against it, try to resist, but eventually give up or make excuses why we are surrendering. Temptation, as I mentioned, began with Adam and Eve. Shortly after creation, Satan lied to Eve about the wonderful benefits of eating the forbidden fruit. And he's been doing the same thing to humanity ever since. Ever since. This is what Jesus said right up here. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, he's talking about the religious folks. Watch out for religious people. You know why? They got the Christianese cliches. They'll sit right next to you, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and go home and live like the devil. You got to watch out for religious folks. Oh, yeah. They look righteous, but they're filled with dead men's bones. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. I'm asking this question, do you love God? Do you love him? Because if you truly love him, you will obey him. You will honor him. You won't want to break his heart if you truly love. But look what he says here. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he has sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You see, unbelievers cannot hear. People that are stooped in sin. I'm talking Christians that are stooped in sin. They have put Jesus on the back burner, and I'm going to go have my day of pleasure. They can no longer hear the voice of God because God will not wallow in that sin with you. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. Say that with me. He is a liar and the father of it. Should I end right here? We got some on here. Come on. God said we would go for a ride this morning. You see, saints, only the elements of his temptations vary according to the desires and the weaknesses of each person. So for 6,000 years, he has examined us. He knows your weakest moment where he could come in and whisper lullabies to you. You see, the devil knows when we are the most vulnerable. What suggestion is most appealing, and how to make us think we must have it right now. Go ahead and have a Burger King life, having it your way. He is ready with a long line of excuses. Try to sell you a bill of goods. Look at this right up here. You deserve to have this. No one's perfect. God still loves you and will forgive you. That's what he will use. And even though there is provision in the word, but to use that as a scapegoat, as, oh, I'm protected, I'm going to wallow over here, then come over here and then just advocate the name of God. My goodness. My goodness. And that's what folks do. Yeah. It's like a little child. You tell them, don't touch the stove. It's hot. You turn around, they're getting closer. You turn around, bah! You told them not to. I hope it blisters for a little bit. However, saints, for those of us who belong to Christ, we are not without a defense strategy. I hope you know that. It's described at the end of the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters of Ephesians deal with the spiritual wealth that belongs to us through Christ Jesus, our Savior. The next two chapters in Ephesians tells us we are to walk with the Lord in righteousness. Chapter 6 addresses the reality of spiritual warfare and the provisions Christ has made for us to successfully resist temptation and deception. And that's what's going on in our nation right now. It's deceived, totally deceived. Let's read this again. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? What is a wile from the devil? That means, oh man, I'll get to you in a while. No. It's a fiery, supernatural spear that he sends. And he sends to disable you. Because if there's a crack in the armor, it will penetrate and cause you to be renderless, ineffective. It'll cause you to run back in sin. He'll bring back all the old back in the days that you've been missing. And you will run back there. That's what a wile will do. This is why we need to protect ourselves against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not about flesh and blood. It's not about what we say. There's a real entity, invisible, and he's got all kinds of dominions working with him, constantly attacking. You know what? If we could see into the spiritual realm right now, we would all run. Wow! Because there's a whole bunch of them. And they're alive and well. And they want to take us out. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, one thing that God showed me clearly, I asked God, this was like about a year or so ago. You remember when Obama came to the whole nation and said, every nation now can marry same sex. Remember that? I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, why the men have that distorted look? And it's like a weird look to them. It's not a natural look. And it's different. It's like it's contorted. And they all have that similar trait. And I heard God answer me. He goes, those are demons inside. They have given themselves up through the flesh, and now the spirit has come in, and they're being tormented through a spirit of lust. But when you see them, and they're walking in their femininity, that's not them. It's a devil that's inside of them. And it needs to be cast out. Same with the women. It needs to be cast out. Because that same devil will take them to hell. What happens when they get dropped into hell? The spirit then removes, and now they're left there naked before God and have no defense. And they will be tormented day and night. It's a serious matter. So let me ask you this. What is a satanic attack? What is it? Saints, it's deliberate, willful assault by Satan upon individual for the purpose of doing harm to the spirit, soul, and body, or all three at once. These attacks could come at any time from anywhere. When's the last time you said, man, I got to get before God, I'm going to start praying? And all of a sudden, the phone rings, the dog barks. All kinds of these lustful thoughts come out of nowhere. Why? Because he don't want you to touch the hem of his garment. Satan knows that if you get a hold of God, you will be empowered by the Most High. And you can step on his neck. Can I get amen? You see, the devil tries to trip us up when we are at our weakest. And he knows exactly who or what to use as a lure. He knows what, oh yeah. For some of you brothers, he'll put some young, fine-looking thing in front of you. For some of you that are battling with your humanity, he'll bring another, a same-sex kind, right next to you. Tempt you. Try to wreck you. But see, if you're spirit-filled, God will give you discernment. And if the word is well up in you, you will know how to rebuke it. But he doesn't go after very strong Christians. He wants them to trip. He's after the weaklings that will give in right away. Now, as soon as he puts them in a headlock, they're crying, uncle, 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 uncle. You remember? Oh, you never wrestled like that back in the day. Say uncle. As soon as we get in that headlock, uncle. No. He often tempts us with what we do not need or should not have as he seeks to bring us down. Look what 1 Peter wrote about this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Does he call the devil your friend? Your partner? Your homie? Your road dog. What else? What other terms can we come up with? mi amigo. No, he's your enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. He says, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Man, he's all up in your room. He's at your house. He's in your car. He's with your friends. Yeah, as you pop a cold one open, yeah, he's all there. Come on, keep drinking more. I'm going to set up an accident right here, take you out. But it says, resist him. Say that with me. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Because when you put on the armor of God, it has to be done through faith and faith alone. Can I get amen? Amen. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So right now, the true believers that are around the world, China, even in Iran, Middle East, Europe, South America, the devil wants to take them out too. But we are to pray for them, amen, as they pray for us. So my next question is this. Satan does have a limitation on how far he can tempt, provoke, and attack you. He has limitations. He doesn't have full authority. Can I get amen? And where do we find that at? Come on. Come on, Bible scholars. Where do we find that at? Where do we find that he will come to God? Oh, okay. Oh, you need a job? Job. Look at this. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves to the Lord. And look, old Slewfoot came along too. He got in line. Oh, I'm just going to get in line with them. And Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? So Satan answered, the Lord said, from going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it. Let us know he has access to this world. He comes to heaven, comes down. He roams. He's here. Look at this. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? Can we be counted in that number? Huh? Can we say we're walking like Job? Because God boasted in him right now. This is a boast from the Lord. That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Look, he's trying to twist it on God. Oh, you bless him because you're probably blessing him. See, the devil's cunning. Look at this. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out of the... Man, Satan said, yeah, man. Because his nature is to come and bring havoc. His nature is to come to provoke. His whole being is to come and try to destroy you. Why? Because we are created in the image and likeness of God. And he hates us for that. So, man, as soon as he said that, I'm gone. I'm going to go get Job. I'm going to get Job. So, my question is this, and we all know the story. We don't have time to go into the whole story of Job, but everything was taken from him. He had boils. I'm talking big, giant boils all over his head, and his own wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? What was her faith? Pray for your wife. they'll lose faith every now and then. What are Satan's objectives? Let's look at this. What are Satan's objectives? What's his agenda? You see, without wisdom and knowledge, we're never going to know. Can I get an amen? So what's his objectives? Number one, write these down. To draw us away from God. That's what that's his whole purpose, is to get you drawn away from God. One of his goals is to take our minds off the Lord and spiritual matters in order to get us to focus on material and sensual desires. This is what I don't understand, especially for brand new Christians. I'm talking brand new Christians, male or female. Instead of falling in love with God and just growing, man, and being sanctified, and I mean, just walking now in his righteousness, right away, they want to go run and find someone. Some of them just came out of the frying pan, and now they want to get in the fire. Man, put that love and adoration for him. Spend some time with him, maybe a couple of years, whatever the case may be. Then allow him to bring that flower to you. As a matter of fact, he'll pluck it from his garden. You won't have to go to Egypt and find an uncircumcised Philistine in a club somewhere thinking, oh, this is the one. Yeah, that's the one that took you for everything. Can I get amen? His objective is the saints will come. Man, someone just filled with God and I love you, Lord. And boom, here comes someone. Oh. I just dropped my sword. He wants to draw you away from God. Secondly, to thwart God's purposes for your life. Although the Lord is infinitely more powerful, we know that. Satan is always trying to undermine what God desires for us. That's right. Paul understood this very well. How many love the teachings of Paul? Listen, as believers, we are to truly, the days that we live in right now, we are to truly focus on him. Why? Because it's not just, oh, I'm going to live holy and now I'm just, no, there's something for us to obtain. Did you know that? Okay, let me back it up with some word right here. Look at Philippians. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Say that with me. I press on. Where are we pressing to? Pressing on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. The way Jesus has laid hold of you, you are to lay hold of him. And you are not to let him go. Can I get amen? And so when you're holding on to God, you got to lift up your arms and let other things get out of there. Let all these other things that you were holding on to, let them go, because you need to hold on to Jesus and Jesus alone. Can I get amen? Amen? He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget about the past. Forget about what they said. No matter what they did wrong. You what? Just let that go. Don't let it fester. It'll cause a root of bitterness. And you won't be able to hear God at all. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the what? The goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. My goodness. There is a prize to obtain. Hallelujah. Nothing down here on this earth will fulfill anything in your life but God. Can I get amen? These things down here are temporary. They come and go. They fade away, but not the things of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thirdly, his strategy is this: to deny God the worship and glory he deserves. Is your life bringing glory to God? Can you honestly say that, oh Lord, my whole being, my soul, my body brings you glory and honor? Or is that just at 10 in the morning when Joshua starts the worship music? Is that the only time you give him praise and glory? Just for those few minutes? Or is it continual all day long? Lord, I love you. I praise you. You know, God is interested in the most insignificant things of your life. It all matters to him. Everything does. You see, saints, Satan hates the fact that God alone is worthy of all worship and honor. So he offers us a plate full of other options to distract us from him. And then he will accuse you before God. Listen, this is old Slewfoot's strategy. If I could get you two brothers to go down that street on a Monday and rob a bank, I convince you to rob a bank, right? And no one knows about it. But then I, because I knew about it, then I go tell the cops, look what they did. I need a reward. I want a reward. I knew what they did. Well, whose game plan is that? Huh? Slewfoot. I got some word to back that up. Look at that. In Revelation, oh, the book that no one wants to read. Now, when I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Hallelujah. He's there 24/7 accusing you and you and you. Man, you should have seen God what they said. I seen them in a room together. God, aren't they supposed to be your children? They're not mine no more. He is the accuser of the brethren. Huh? Oh, come on. Jesus, help us. His ultimate goal, saints, is number four, to destroy us. And the first thing he wants to do, here's the number one thing before he pummels you and causes you to just die and to give up everything. He first comes to slander your character. And when he can get your character slandered and all these people that don't know the facts are now believing that lie, man, you will feel no smaller than a pimple. Slander you. That's where he starts. He starts with the mouth. And then it's an onslaught from that point on. That's right. You see, the devil wants to demolish our relationship with God, our interest and our faith in him, our desire to pray, and confidence in our eternal security. You know what? Seriously, when we call a prayer meeting at 5 o'clock, most of you are like this, at home. You know why? Because it's almost like, you remember the Wizard of Oz and that wicked witch threw something and they all started falling asleep. He puts folks to sleep. If he can get you away from praying, because that's the most effective way to bombard the kingdom of darkness is through prayer and fasting. But when you have no desire for that, you have to question, where's your walk? Who are you walking with? That's right. Because the enemy has one purpose. Jesus said it straight out. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. But the thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly. See, God has privileged us to live the abundant life. But can we get there? Can we actually say we're living the abundant life? However, saints, we know that God's word says nothing. How many are so blessed to know that nothing can separate us from God? Huh? See, I'm just putting up here what old Slewfoot wants to do to you. And for some of you, he has taken you through the ringer. Some of you, he has chewed you up and spit you out. And it's only God's grace that we're still alive here today. Because he did not allow you. God did not allow you to die. After a while, I believe God said, all right, enough, get off him. Just like he did for Job. Get off him. And so Paul understood this. Paul was a chief sinner. Paul was the original drive-by. Wild madman. He fed Christians to the lions. He burned them at the stake. He would go door to door and invade their homes and drag them out and persecute them. But something happened to him on his way to Damascus. He was riding on his beast, and he had orders from Jerusalem to kill more Christians. So look at this for a moment. He did not get saved in a church. He did not get saved in an outreach. He did not get saved in a recovery home. He did not get saved, but was riding on his beast on his way to do destruction. Jesus came and knocked him off his beast. Can I get an amen? And many of us did not get saved in a church. I know I didn't. But Jesus had to come and knock me off my beast. He had to knock you off your beast. Can I get amen? Because guess what? If he didn't knock you off your beast, you were not coming to him. Bible says in the book of Romans, there's none that seeks after God. No, not one. They've all gone astray. The moment we're birthed out of our mother's womb, we're walking away from God until he comes and quickens us and makes us turn to him. He has to enable. But look what Paul said here. He understood once he got saved, he went from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle. Look what it says here. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You need to understand, we who are born again, the Spirit of God, sometimes we don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit knows how to pray for us. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Amen. When the Spirit falls on you and the Holy Ghost comes forth, you don't even know what that means. But God does. Hallelujah. Look at this. And we know that all things, say that with me, all things work together for good. Look at that. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Not your purpose, not my purpose, but what? His purpose. His purpose was to save me so that 30 years down the road, I would be able to share things with you. That was his purpose. Can I get amen? For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. That lets us know that while we were, before we were conceived in our mother's womb, he already knew you. He already foreknew us. How does that work? Because it's the mind of God. It's beyond our human comprehension. We just have to have faith to believe this. Can I get an amen? He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these also he called. How many hands in here can honestly say you've been called? And for those who didn't raise your hand, you need to come to the altar right now and make your salvation sure. Moreover, whom he predestined, these also he called. Whom he called, he also what? I bet a lot of you don't know what that means. Justified. What does that mean? Listen, you heard this cliche. Well, I'm saved, sanctified, justified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized. We say these things, right? But what does justified mean? You know what that means? That means when we humbled ourselves, we repented of our sins, he washed us in his blood, he filled us with his spirit. Now we stand before a holy God just as if we've never sinned. God don't look down no more that we're sinners. All he sees is the blood. The blood. Hallelujah. Justified. And whom he justified, these also glorified. What does glorified mean? Oh, that we could just say, glory, glory, glory. As my friend would say, glory to God. No, you know what glorified means? This is what glorified means. He already sees us in the future in our glorified state. In the new body. Oh, you haven't seen that yet, have you? But by faith, he says he's glorified. Hallelujah. Man, that day's coming. I hope, how many believe that day's coming? It's coming. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can what? Who can be against us? Who can be against us? Look at this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge to God's elect? What demon in hell can come and bring a charge to his elect? Not one of them. If you're washed in the blood, a child of the Most High God, the devil cannot bring a charge against you. Now, he can try to influence you to sin. Then God will deal with you. But he cannot bring a charge to you. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Huh? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. So who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Is he who is he who condemns? You see, the devil will condemn you all day long. Convince you that you are a loser. He'll make you think like this. This is what I am. I'm always defeated. Yeah. I got to come to the altar every Sunday. Right. That's a lie from the pit. Hallelujah. If God's delivered you, the Bible says you are changed. Yeah. And he is perfecting you to be Christ-like. Man, don't go wallow back in your pity. Walk in authority with power from on high. Know that God's word is forever settled in heaven and that you're a child of the Most High God. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why are you going back there back in the day? He's already buried it. He did more than when a dog goes and he covers up his thing. God sees it no more. Can I get an amen? Amen? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. When you run out of things to pray for, he will pray for you. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we all are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, say this with me, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Through him who loved us. How many can honestly say that you know that you are loved by God? Paul ends it like this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But the devil is trying to lie to you. He's lying to our nation. This is why we see these mass shootings and we see these abominations and we see all these things in our world because they have believed the lie. God is speaking to the church right now. We got to reject that lie. Can I get an amen? But yet, saints, the devil keeps trying to move us in a direction away from the truth by convincing us that we don't have time to read the Bible or that we won't understand it. We must remember that he is our enemy who feeds us lies to keep us from living faithfully and righteously as God desires, which is the best possible life given to mankind. So, what are his strategies? How many is getting something out of this study this morning? Or am I just up here babbling? Come on. So, what are his strategies? You got to know his strategy. Listen, if you know his strategy, you'll know how to counterpunch him. You'll know when to send that uppercut, when the guard is open. You'll know when he ducks and comes up. Now here comes a left from you. Come on, you got to learn how to counterpunch him. Can I get amen? Yeah. That's right. Number one, his strategy is to deceive you. You see, saints, believing Satan's lies is the first step toward following him. Those who love their sin are quick to question or twist the truth of God's word in order to justify their choices. Did you hear that? They make excuses for their sin based on their situations and needs. But I have news for you, saints. It's written in the last book. What's that last book called? Oh, yeah, the book that most churches won't read out of. I don't want to scare the people. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, old Slewfoot, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up and set a seal on him that he should, what? Deceive the nations. Our nation right now is under siege through deception. So he has to be bound so that now truth can come forth. Right now this whole nation has bought into the lie. Oh, we can kill. Let's double 60 million in abortions. Let's make 3, 4, 5 different kind of bathrooms. That's right. Let's bring the transgender teachers to our public schools to teach our children that it's okay to be that way. I'm here to let you know that's a lie, and that's a lie from the pit. If you don't know what you are, go in the restroom, drop the drawers, and look down. And that's who you are. And if you're still confused, you need to be delivered. Come on. Oh, but we can't. Oh, you're being political. No, I'm not being political. I'm speaking out of the authority of God. God's authority is above political matters. Can I get amen? Amen. This whole nation has bought in to the lie. But look at this. He will deceive the nations no more for a whole 1,000 years. Man, just imagine. Can you actually just imagine living in society and there's no more sin for 1,000 years? You can't even think of that, huh? Does that really exist? Yeah, it does. Because old Slewfoot is still around. And he's deceiving the nations. That's why there's so many wars. Why does he want war? Because he wants to destroy mankind. Because he hates God. He hates God with a passion. So saints, he comes to deceive us. And then after his strategy is not just to deceive you, but then here's another aspect that he wants to do. He wants to divide you. He wants to pit you against so-and-so. He wants to put up so much bitterness. He wants to put all kinds of anger and hostility. I cannot be around you no more. I'm going somewhere else.
Turn it up.
What? That's his strategy. If he can divide you, he's won.
Yeah, come on.
Why are we giving him victory? Why can't we say, man, you know what? I don't care what you did, but you know what? My love for you is greater. Because Christ in me, the hope of glory, is in me. And let me cover your sin with my love. Well, none of us are perfect. Can I get an amen? Man, but as soon as someone crosses you, man, forgot about Jesus. It's all about me, myself, and I. The unholy Trinity. You see, saints, the devil seeks to cause division in nations, churches, families, and friendships. He wants to create chaos by stirring up criticism and distrust. But let me just say this. For those of you that know people, I used to be part of a 3,000 member church. And I used to see people come and go, and I would run into them. I go, how come you're not here tomorrow? Oh, you don't know what they said about me. I go, whoa. And I didn't want to know why. I just said, okay, well, you know, I was on the prayer team, so I was just called to pray. Well, can I pray for you right now? No. Don't need no prayer. But look what the Word of God says. Look right up here. Proverbs 6:16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. What up? A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. All those doctors and these Planned Parenthoods shedding innocent blood. They're going to have their day in court. A heart that devises wicked plans. I mean, you know, those little schemers. I can't wait to unleash this. Feet that are swift and running to evil. Yeah. A false witness who speaks lies. Did you know? Psst, 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 about psst, psst, psst. And the next thing he knows is something that never really occurred. And now his heart has turned against him. We are so vulnerable and gullible to someone else's chismes. Yes.
Well, you cutting up today.
And you know why I'll tell you why we love to hear chismes. You know why? Because then we can puff ourselves higher than that. I'm not like that.
That's a proud look.
And then the one that God really hates is the one who sows discord. Causing someone's heart to be turned against one another. And eventually in church, you'll see one of them leave or two of them will leave at the same time.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what do you call it? It's like a Chinese drill, a fire drill. There's a word before control. It's, what's the word? Someone help me with that word. Well, you know what I'm getting. Where everything breaks out. And it was all spun on the issue of the heart. This is how I feel. Well, we need help, don't we? And the nation has gone to its boiling point. So, his strategy is not only to divide, it's not only to, as we read earlier, to deceive you, to divide you, but his goal is to destroy you. It first starts with the character. If I can destroy your character, then everyone else is going to be on my ship. And we're all going to look at you no differently. And yet that could be a lie out of hell. This is Satan's ultimate purpose: to destroy our testimonies, our lives, our finances, our marriages, our families, by deceiving and dividing us. Since Satan is always seeking to deceive, divide, or destroy us, we must be what? Alert and watchful at all times and never think that we are too strong to be tempted. I've heard people say, man, Pastor Fee, I'm strong in the Lord. Oh, please don't say that no more. Because the moment you say, I'm strong in the Lord, take heed lest you should fall. This kind of overconfidence is no foundation at all, because our only hope is to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not in our own power. We have a promise from the Lord, and he teaches us to rely fully on him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Because how many believe that temptation will come? That's right. For some of you who are trying to find parking, man, especially if you came alone. No one could drop you off and someone go park it. He comes to destroy us, divide us. Look what 1 Corinthians says here. Look at that. No temptation is overtaking you, but such as common to man. It will come. And God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Brothers, hold on. Sisters, hold on. Don't give in to the devil. He wants to trip you up. You see, if he could get you to sin before God, God in his righteousness then has to bring chastisement. And why does he bring it? Because we know better. Hello? I believe God is saying something this morning. Things, because God is faithful, we don't have to yield to temptations. Can I get amen? Therefore, since we must choose to trust him and reject the enticements, Satan offers us all kinds of enticements. To do otherwise leads us down his path of destruction. How many love the book of James? He'll give you instruction. That's right. Because the Bible says this. Here's some good news now. But you got to be willing to accept it. You are to be willing to apply it. And then now, once you apply it, now walk in it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Blessed. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive what? The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So God will never tempt you. It's old Slewfoot that's bringing the temptation. Hallelujah. He just wants to trip you up. Because he knows God will get you. My goodness. Somebody getting a revelation of that one? Saints, temptation should prompt us to turn away from every excuse and realize that what the devil is offering has no place in the life of the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. There should be no foothold. Can I get amen? No stronghold. None. When we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior and are surrendered to him, my goodness, we face temptations from a platform of strength because the Holy Spirit lives within us. How many want his Spirit in us? All right. And for those of you that don't have his Spirit, we're going to do an altar call because you need his power. You cannot live this holy walk powerless. That's right. You know, when you go to Home Depot and want to buy a little drill gun, you just don't take it out and it works. You got to power it up. It says at least 10 hours. Let it get built up. Some of you have not been built up. You need God's power. You see, saints, the Holy Spirit identifies Satan's lies, and it helps us discern their destructive nature. Those who are sensitive to the spiritual realities, he reveals, are more cautious regarding temptations, and the undiscerning find themselves submitting without a fight. Did you catch that? You got the Holy Ghost in you? You won't submit to that thing. There shouldn't even be a fight. There should come forth a rebuke. God's word is our greatest defense against the devil. This is why it's important to be in the word. Can I get amen? Man, when I was a young buck in Christ, I'm talking 30 years, ask this to Yolanda, man, I couldn't wait for the church doors to open. I wanted to come in and get the front row. I was like eager beaver, man. I wanted to know. I was in everything, Bible studies, home fellowships, prayer meetings. But now I know why. Because of that, he's allowed me to do this. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I can't pat my back. I just know this is what it took. He just doesn't give it to anyone. You need to be tried a little bit. You need to walk a while. You need to go through some things. Can I get amen? God's word is our greatest defense against the devil. That's why we need to be strong. Look at this right up here. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin is full grown, brings forth what? Do not be deceived, my beloved. Don't be deceived. No temptation is going to take you down unless you give into it. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, hallelujah, the shield of faith, your loins girded up in truth, your feet shod, prepared for the gospel of peace. A and you move forward. Onward, Christian soldier. Can I get an amen? You're moving forward. Because if there's a retreat, there is no protection on the backside. And that's where the devil will sling the wiles and take you down. That's why Paul, he described the armor as a Roman soldier, because none of them retreated. They just kept fighting until they died or won. They didn't go backwards. We are not to go backwards. Can I get amen? We are not to retreat. We are not to throw in the towel. So saints, if we keep our Bible closed or open it once a week on Sundays, we have lost our defense and will become victims of the schemes of the devil. We need to bring every weakness and temptation to the Lord immediately, asking him for the strength to resist. The more often we successfully stand firm, the stronger we'll become. But if we stumble and fall, we have God's promise to forgive and cleanse us. Aren't you so blessed to know that? We're not going to be perfect, but we go to the perfect one. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, we walk and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So you saying, yeah, humbada, 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 shamada, yeah, 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 hallelujah, and then you live like the devil the next 6 days. Guess what? The truth is not in you. You have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I hope this strengthens us and lets us know the time we live in. Let's not leave it to Beaver days no more. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? All sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So his provision is this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But look at this. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Oh God, I pray that we could truly walk rightly before God. Brother Joshua, you want to come up? As I went before the Lord this week, this past week, we've seen El Paso mowed down. We've seen Ohio mowed down. One thing that the news is not reporting, 10,000 shot in Chicago. 5,000 shot. A town by New York. And one of the worst things is the news media. I don't care what your who your news media is, whether it's CNN, MSNB, whether it's Fox. You know they're not telling you? They think it's political. No, it's sin. This is the result of a nation that has drawn away from God. And when you remove God out of the public square, from the courthouse, from the schoolyard, from the public arena, we now have a nation filled with spiritual barbarians. We've got homosexuals and transgenders now infiltrating the elementary schools, teaching them ungodliness, things that are going to send people to hell. lest they repent. But they're not telling you the truth. They have believed the lie. This Sunday morning, we will not tell you a lie. Can I get an amen? I'm not going to give you one of these to make you feel good. So, the message, I feel like I'm in heaven floating on clouds. While people in the same house around the nation are dying in their sin. No one's telling them to repent. Oh, it's all gonna be, God is love. Yeah, he is. That's why he came. To destroy that sin in your life. I'm hoping that God's word has resonated. That we can take this word this morning and just build upon what has already been built in your life. That you would add another brick, another block toward your faith. Maybe some of you didn't know how to fight the devil. Now we know. You have to resist him. You need the power of God. You need the power that resonates in the life of a true born-again believer. Without the power, you are powerless. And there's really no other cure. There's really no other answer. Psychology can't help you. Your meds can't help you. Your friends, your family, they cannot help you. The only thing that can deal with our sin is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died for it. And whom the Son says free is what? Free indeed. He will give you libertad. Liberty. By the way, if you want to really feel free, Pastor Cardell, come up and pray for those who are coming up. Listen. I don't care what temptation, I don't care what you have done, I don't care what area, where you at in life, I'm just here to let you know God loves you. And he wants the best for you. And if you need prayer, you need God to change some things, maybe give you a different understanding of who he is, come on down. The goodies next door, the goodies next door will be there waiting for us. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And if you need prayer, come on down. We want to pray for you.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word,
has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.